This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Enola.
Who are you?
She's your sister.
Enola. Her mind?
Sharp as a tack. Tell me who she is.
Enola.
Enola.
Enola. Tis I.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lee Chwee Lin, Shamila Ganesan, and Arvind Yuvaraj. And today we are talking about the latest, or one of the latest from Netflix anyway. It is Enola Holmes.
Yes, if the surname didn't tip you off already, it is a sort of variation on the Sherlock Holmes mythology, but it's actually also based on a series of young adult books that was aimed at reimagining the Sherlock Holmes mythology and making it centering Enola Holmes, who is, well, this is not a spoiler, she's Sherlock's sister.
Yeah, I'm not even going to wait for the build-up. I'm going to say this movie is insanely fun to watch. Like, it's so vibrant and it's so fun. And it's two hours and like 15 minutes long. And it doesn't feel like it. It feels like a very brisk 1 hour and 15 minutes at most. And I really, really enjoyed it.
I think we're going to differ over the course of this discussion. I will agree with one thing you said. I found it fun. I found it really fun. Millie Bobby Brown plays Enola Holmes, and I found her really fun to watch and very vivacious. And however, for me, the main thing was it really felt like a TV movie. I could put it on, go like make dinner and not feel like I've missed anything.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it very much. And I felt the 2 hour running time. So I will say that like as it went on, I was like, how many set pieces are we going to be working through here? Because you could have called it, you know, quite a while ago. And just to say that the story, like you mentioned, Shamila, tells the story of Enola Holmes. More specifically, it begins with the disappearance of her mom,
yes.
Eudoria Holmes, played by Helena Bonham Carter in classic Helena Bonham Carter fashion. Mm-hmm. And that results in her brothers, Mycroft and Sherlock, both famous, both already making their way through the world, played respectively by Sam Claflin as well as Henry Cavill as Sherlock,
yes,
Holmes, returning to the house and kind of being forced to reckon with this little sister that they don't know very well, while she herself wants to solve the mystery of where her mother is.
Yes, and I think it's quite important to mention at this point that the publicity campaign for Enola Holmes was very specific. If you guys saw the posts that went viral, Netflix basically went around various parts of, various parts of Europe, I think, and set up opposite statues of famous men who have, you know, done impressive things, statues of their sisters who were unknown or whose successes didn't quite make it to the public imagination. So that should kind of give you insight into where Netflix is coming from with this film. They've also already announced that they intend to make a whole bunch of sequels.
Because it's based on a series of,
yes,
books.
Yes, that's right. Mm. So I think for me, a lot of that intentionality of what this film is trying to do was a little too apparent. Like, it was very transparent what the movie intends to do. To me, that didn't make it less fun, but it did make it sort of less memorable, and I found myself not being very invested in basically what seemed like a very easy play on Netflix's part.
Mm. So you mentioned like TV movie just now, that it felt like a TV movie, and it did. I don't know why I like TV movies sometimes, like especially if you watch it during the holidays. There are some movies on like, you know, just B-grade Hallmark stuff that you don't have to think about. So a lot of the set pieces look like a Hallmark set with slightly bigger budget. And I like that. I don't know why I like the feel. The score was really nice. The music was really nice. And I just like the pacing of the film overall. Like Lynn, you said there were like set pieces, like way too many set pieces. And when are they going to get to the end, right? I love those set pieces. Like every time they went to a new place or they went back to the same place, I was like, oh, we're here again. And then we're going there again. And then this is a new place that she figured out. And I enjoyed it. And I think it's purely because of Millie Bobby Brown. I don't think anyone else could have brought as much energy to the story. I think her performance, she's just so magnetic in the way that she, you know, plays the role, with the breaking of the fourth wall as well. And I love that because I don't think anyone other than Millie Bobby Brown, again, could have done the breaking of the fourth wall. You need a certain kind of charisma, a certain kind of facial expression, the ability to look at the camera and carry the story forward, which very few actors have. And she did it. So I enjoyed it. Like overall, I checked Rotten Tomatoes and it gave it like a 91%. I would 100% agree with the 91%. Mm.
Yeah, so I recognize entirely that I'm in the minority on this. And yet, I just can't find it. I did not find it enjoyable. I can't find it in me to say that I did. I agree broadly with a lot of the points that both of you are raising in terms of the vivacity, the energy. However, I think that the story itself does not hold up to that. So that was an issue for me. I didn't think if you're going to have a story about a detective, you know, and you see this in all the classic detective stories, the Marples, Poirot's, even the Elder Holmes, there has to be a difficulty in the case. There has to be a moment where you're like, oh, your mind, you know? And I did not feel that. I think if you have solved the mystery 45 minutes before the movie ends and you get there before the central character, that is a problem for me. And so, and that speaks to, I guess, the scripting of the rest of the story. So that's where I stand on the story front. And for that reason, despite the performance, I love the score, by the way. I will say that. I absolutely love the score. I think Enola's theme that plays every time she's kind of riding towards
Enola-ing.
Freedom. Every time she's, you know, broadly speaking, Enola-ing. I love that. So I can appreciate all that, but I still did not find the movie engaging in that very particular way. And part of it is very much for that reason. I found myself thinking about Babysitter's Club while watching this, which also has a somewhat girl power, girls can do anything messaging to it.
And also similar demographic, right? It's based on books for teenage girls.
Yes, and the overall thing is meant for younger viewers as well. And I thought that Babysitter's Club just did it a little better. Not a little better, a lot better.
So for me, right, my challenge or problem with Enola Holmes is that the whole point of telling a story of a famous man's lesser-known sister is to show us that the lesser-known sister may in fact actually have been very good herself. Honestly, this film doesn't do that. Like, this film is in no way better than any other Sherlock Holmes film I've watched. The mystery isn't difficult particularly. I found myself struggling. I agree, Lynn, that the story lets down what could have been a very interesting premise. I don't know how much, I haven't read the books, so I don't know how much of it comes from the books. But I really felt like at the end of the day, you come away thinking, well, meh, well, I would have just preferred a Sherlock Holmes movie instead. And if that's what you get from making a female empowered film, it feels like it might have lost the point.
So this is like really interesting, right? Because I didn't care for the mystery at all when watching this film. I didn't see it as a mystery movie. I saw it more as like, in a way, a family drama. And sort of like,
that's interesting, you know, which I want to pick on later, but go on.
Yeah, so it's about, for me, it was mainly about Enola. I didn't care if she solved anything. I wasn't paying attention to the clues that she was picking up. It was just everything that they did, like the silent movie transitions and the her riding on the bicycle and looking at the camera. Those were just clever ways of pushing the movie forward. I'm not going to say I like those, but I wasn't latched onto anything. And I didn't care, at the end of the day, I didn't care who, you know, did the crime or whatever. I wasn't looking forward to that. But I was completely going along for the ride with the two leads. And that was kind of enough for me. So it's kind of weird that I think if you see it as a mystery movie, I can kind of agree. It's not a big mystery at all. There's not much there. But for me, it wasn't a mystery movie at all.
But the movie tries so hard to make it a mystery movie, though. Like, that's what they keep saying, that's what she wants to be.
ooh, mm-hmm. articles yeah. in the paper. No, it's, I don't mean to sound dismissive. I think that the, there's absolutely, its heart is in the right place. That is very clear. Mm. It's a very earnest film. It's very sweet. Actually, I think it's very sweet natured, which makes me feel worse for not liking it. But we'll get to that. We do have to take a little break. We'll be right back. We're talking about Enola Holmes. Did you enjoy it? Would you like to join me in Minority Corner over here and saying that you did not like it so much? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and of course also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
Now where to begin? My mother named me Enola, which backwards spells alone. And yet we were always together. And it was wonderful. She was my whole world. Which leads me onto the second thing you need to know. A week ago, I awoke.
Mother?
To find that my mother was missing. And she did not return.
I'm presently on the way to collect my brothers, Mycroft and Sherlock.
Yes, Sherlock Holmes. The famous detective, my genius brother. He will have all the answers.
Enola.
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And today we're reviewing Enola Holmes, which has been out now for a week or two, I think. And we've laid out our stakes in the ground here. So on opposite ends are Arvin and I, and Sharmila sort of...
I'm in the middle, but leaning towards Lynn. And I think that's because of something you said before we closed out the first half of the show, because you were saying it has its heart in the right place. And as you were saying it, it suddenly struck me that I don't think it does. And I think that's what bothers me about the movie. It feels like they are doing the feminism thing so hard and so strong that they've let that drive the story. And I don't think that serves the purpose at all. I don't think that's how you tell a female-centered story. So actually, the more I talk about it, the less I find myself liking it. And the more I think about it, the less I find even the things I liked start feeling very calculated in a way that, and you mentioned Babysitter's Club. Babysitter's Club felt so organic in the way it pushes the female empowerment girls can do anything story through. This one feels just too paint my numbers for me. So I might be closer to you and inching further along as we speak.
So at the end of the movie, I was trying to think about whether this project worked for Netflix, because obviously they're trying to launch a franchise. You said there's like a bunch of sequels. I'm sure there's a bunch of spin-offs coming as well. And I was trying to, I asked myself if I would like a Sherlock series or if I would like an Enola series. And I don't want a Sherlock series. Like, based on the character that they built.
So like Henry Cavill as Sherlock, you mean?
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I would like him to be a side role in Enola's films. And that sort of told me that the movie worked for me personally. Mm-hmm. Because if I wanted Henry Cavill back as Sherlock, and if I wanted Mycroft in all of these films as well, then the movie sort of failed, because I would need them to... sort of help Enola tell her stories, right? But I wasn't interested in a solo Sherlock film, if that carries any weight.
I think it does. I will say, though, I actually liked Henry Cavill as Sherlock. It's just that the film wasn't Sherlockian at all. And so
no.
Which is not its point,
no,
right?
Yeah.
Which it was trying to push, this idea that she is a girl growing up in the shadow of her two brothers and breaking free from that, as her mother would have wanted her to. I'm glad that we're touching on the side characters, because just briefly, I did like Henry Cavill as Sherlock. I don't think there was a whole lot for him to do, but I appreciated, I think, the quiet reserve that he had in the performance, which was in stark contrast to Sam Claflin as Mycroft Holmes, who was like dialing it up to 15 or something.
And I like Sam Claflin. I remember him from The Hunger Games, and I remember thinking he's a really likable actor.
That's where he's from.
Yes. Okay. Finnick.
Okay. Yeah, Finnick. Yep.
And no, I think it's just like this film feels to me like, in fact, almost the opposite of what you said, Arvin. I feel like this film, why is it even called Holmes? If what you wanted to do was tell the story of a girl who had sort of a fun life and adventure. The mm-hmm. fact that it's being tied and promoted as a Sherlock Holmes adjacent story in itself feels like sleight of hand by Netflix, a clever marketing ploy to ride on a man's fame to market a girl's story. Yeah, I don't know. I think once I got in my head that this is all very calculated, everything I think about the film fits in more and more into that, including the fact that they set up a sequel, including the fact that they almost deliberately don't actually resolve the question of what happened with her mom at the end. So it just feels too calculated for me to be able to enjoy it.
I mean, it's an algorithm, basically. that's how the thing, I mean, that's how they work at the producer's office or whatever, right? So that part, I completely agree. It's not a Holmes film. It never had to be. Like, it could be a completely different story about a completely different girl, completely different setting with, like, famous brothers, and it would have still... it would still have the same effect. So it is, they did leverage on the marketing and they sort of rode on that, you know, that legacy and having that literature and stuff. 100% agree. I think what it is when I started watching it or when I started seeing the trailers, I went in with zero expectations, which is what I kind of do for all of Netflix's films because it's very misleading with all the marketing and stuff. So I'm like, I will just go in blind and if it's fun, it's fun. And it was a lot of fun. I didn't expect it to be that much fun. And I think that's why I'm coming out of it feeling like really like, oh, wow, they actually did all these things and it made me had a good time. Will I go watch it again? I don't know. Will I remember it like 2 months down the road? I don't know. But if they told me that Enola's coming back to go to a different country and she's going to take a ship to somewhere and solve another mystery, I would like sign up immediately. I'd be like, okay, give me the sneak peek if that's such a thing on streaming services. Like, I would watch it.
I think my main motivator throughout, as I was watching it and when I started to realize like, oh, okay, I'm not really loving it. And knowing that we would be here today talking about it together, the thing that kept echoing in my head was, would I have liked this if I were watching it as a 14-year-old? Would I have liked it? Would my 14-year-old self have enjoyed it deeply? And I think the answer to that is a mixed bag. So there are some parts of it. I still think the girl power thing, even for a younger audience, is a bit too on the nose. Mm-hmm. There are more sophisticated ways to do that. We mentioned Babysitter's Club, but I think for me, the comparison there is not so much about female empowerment. It's actually about coming of age, this idea of dealing with life's difficulties. And I think that it's been done better elsewhere. What I would have liked about it, I think, are the... something you mentioned earlier, Arvind, the returning to similar places. I think there's something about expanding your world and finding and exploring existing spaces, your home, someone else's home, forests, that feels very Enid Blyton, that feels very, very, you know, young adult in a nice way. I think those are the things that I would enjoy. But the story would still let me down, I think.
Well, thinking like a 14-year-old girl, since we're down that path, I do think the thing I would have liked if I were younger, and I can appreciate at this age, is the sort of romance that gets introduced with Millie Bobby, with Enola, and this Marquis.
Marquess of Tewkesbury.
Yes, the Marquess of Tewkesbury. He's played by Lewis Partridge. And I thought that was very sweet because it kind of flips gender expectations on its head. It kind of builds the relationship between the both of them in a very organic and fun way. He's not your typical boy's boy, and the same way she's not a girl's girl.
It's an age-appropriate romance.
It is. and they have great chemistry. They're both very likable. I can imagine really swooning over something like that if I were younger. And even as an adult, it's kind of nice to see these gender expectations being flipped in a way that I think is very healthy. But again, you know, it's that idea that they know what they're doing. That there's a certain formula that they're trying to do, and that's what this film is. So there is. I liked it. I enjoyed it while it lasted. I think. I don't know. Again, you said, would you remember it? I'm already forgetting it.
If I asked you guys, like, how would you rate the sort of? Is it pandering? Is it cringy? Or is it just lazy? Like, where would you put the sort of messaging in this film, if you had to choose, like if there was like a scale?
Lazdering. I think it's a little bit, you know, both lazy pandering.
That's what I was thinking. Not cringy. It's not cringy. And I think that has a lot to do with the performances. The chemistry between almost all the actors is great. Sam Claflin's aside, even Henry Cavill and Enola, they have some really nice moments between them.
Helena Bonham Carter is, I kind of said earlier, she did it in typical Helena Bonham Carter style. And that wasn't meant to be a diss, actually, because I think she's wonderful. And she's a very strong, charismatic presence on screen. So when she's on and talking about how she wanted to raise a strong daughter, I liked that well enough. It's the, I think it's the fourth wall. You can't do both things. You can't have speeches going on and on about girl power and then have a girl looking directly into the screen and going, girl power, am I right? That's the end of Spice World, guys. So, you know, I just, sorry. I said I wouldn't get mad. But that's my issue, I think. You can't have both those things.
No, I agree. I, like I said, I actually get I think this is also coming on the wake of a lot of Hollywood feeling very paint by numbers, trying to check all the right boxes, trying to appeal to all the right audiences, and subverting actual social justice causes for a dollar. And I think maybe I'm a little over some of that. And maybe that's not how this works. You need to actually put in effort to tell a good story instead of just jumping on a cause. And that's what this left me with. So maybe, yes, slandering is... No, not... What did you say it was?
Lazdering.
Yes, that's it.
So Shamila asked before we went and I, if this is going to be the first episode where we completely disagreed or we sort of couldn't be on the same page. And I think it is. It kind of is. I don't think we've disagreed on a movie as much as we do on this, which is very, very interesting, especially if you consider the target market, especially if you consider who the movie's engineered for and what Netflix was trying to do with it and who Millie Bobby Brown produced it. She's a 16-year-old producer who was behind most of this film. And it's really interesting to see how it caters to different people and how you watch it and what you expect.
With all that said, right, I'm glad that you enjoyed it. And I'm glad that, again, considering the messaging behind the film, despite how cynical some of us in the room find it.
Just some, don't know who.
But considering the messaging of the film, considering the fact that, yes, it is driven by a female producer, by a young female producer at that, for people who are her cohort of viewers, I'm happy that people are enjoying it. I just don't find myself moving any further along that journey towards liking it. And I don't think you're further along the journey towards disliking it either. So we end the episode where we began.
Yeah. We're still on the opposite sides. Yeah,
and I think that's fine because, like you said, Lynn, lots of people actually really like this film. So maybe there's something that just doesn't appeal to you or me, but appeals to other people, and that's fine. That's why we do shows like these.
All of which to say, we've been talking today about Enola Holmes. Let us know if you've seen it, if you plan to watch it, if you liked it or didn't. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can write to us at movies@bfm.my. And of course, find us as well, BFM Popcorn, on both Twitter and Instagram. This is Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.